Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week.
Good morning. It's a privilege to be with you all here this morning. As we just heard here a moment ago, of course, this is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent's not a word that we typically use in our normal conversation. What the word actually means is coming or arrival. And so for us as followers of Jesus, Advent is a season of watching. It's a season of waiting for the arrival of the Christ child. It's a season to prepare our hearts and minds once again to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Advent is all about waiting. As it happens, it's also a great time to invite people to church. I think it's probably because of the, what I would call maybe the residue of Christianity that still permeates our culture. But this is a great season, seriously, to invite people to join us here. I'm not sure you all know what a good thing you have here. The worship, the liturgy is engaging. Pastor Dan's sermons are practical. They're thought-provoking. And at least in my experience, the people are very warm and welcoming. And so that friend, co-worker, neighbor, family member, that you find yourself thinking maybe occasionally, gosh, you know what he really needs, what she needs, is what I've found at St. Andrew's. This is a season where an invitation to that person is just more likely to result in, hey, they'll come and check it out. So it's a great time to invite others to join us. But Advent is all about waiting. And so this morning I thought we would revisit a story about waiting. What's happening here? We're in Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And we're jumping right into the middle of the story. What's going on here is Mary and Joseph have gone up from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, which was not far away, to the temple there, to consecrate the infant Jesus in the temple. That's where we pick the story up. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. That term, consolation of Israel, could also be translated comforter of Israel. And what it's talking about is he was waiting for this long-promised comforter or redeemer who would come to Israel and set right what was wrong and mend what was broken. So he's waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He wouldn't die. Somehow he knew that he wouldn't die until he saw this long-promised consolation, redeemer, comforter of Israel. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents, Mary and Joseph, brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he, Simeon, took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Would you pray with me? Father, you've told us how once long ago those who walked in darkness saw a great light. We pray this morning, send the light again to shine in our darkness, the darkness of doubt, the darkness of sin, the darkness of loneliness or fear or grief. Let the light of the Christ child reach as far as us, touch us, change us. And as the sights and sounds of Advent once again fill our days announcing good tidings of great joy, let our small hearts respond with great gratitude that the light has shone in darkness and the darkness has not overcome it, even in this, our own time. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We know that since his youth, since he was just really a boy, Simeon had known the prophecies. He had known, was very familiar with these ancient words of Hebrew prophets foretelling this coming Messiah, this coming chosen one who would set things right and heal what was broken. In Galilee of the Gentiles, by the way of the sea, along the Jordan, the people walking in darkness will see a great light, the prophet said. On those living in a shadow dark as death, a light will dawn. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. His kingdom will never end. And again, a redeemer will come to Zion. He will not cry out or raise his voice. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not quench. He won't grow faint or lose heart until he establishes justice on the earth. In his word, the nations put their hope. He's the stone the builders rejected, the prophet said. The stone that becomes the chief cornerstone. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, despised and rejected by men, he's pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. As you unpack all this, what becomes clear is this chosen one, this promised one. He's a man. Clearly, he's a man. Yet somehow, more than a man, the prophet said, whose origins are from long ago, even from the days of eternity. A man who will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The one whom you desire, the one you wait for, long for, the prophet said, the one whom you desire will finally one day come. Now, there were some people who said, That's just crazy talk. It's just crazy talk. It's the senseless ravings of wild-eyed mystics, these yahoos out in the desert who knows what they think or why. Crazy talk. Some said. But those words resonated deeply within Simeon. Something in his soul said that those words of the prophets had to be true. Words that stirred hope within him. Hope that things could be different. That somehow life could be different. Could be more than 80 years of labor and sorrow and little else. Hope that he could be different. And as it always does, that hope gave birth to longing. Longing for righteousness. Not only justice for the oppressed, the hungry, the homeless, whatever, but rightness, wholeness inside him, in his thoughts, his desires, his decisions, his passions. Longing for righteousness. And that hope gave birth to a longing for peace. And not only the peaceable kingdom that the prophets talked about, where the lion would lay down with the lamb, but also someone to calm the war in his own soul. A kind of longing for light in his own personal darkness. Now understand, Simeon was not the only one who was waiting for the Messiah, this long-promised chosen one. In part, I think, because of the ugly oppression of the Roman Empire at this time in the history, the story of the nation Israel, but also largely because of these same ancient prophecies, the whole nation of Israel was in a state of anticipation, expectation. It was a common idea, a common thought that this was the right time, that something had to give, something had to change, God had to intervene. Maybe this was the time when the long-promised one would finally come. The whole nation was in a state of anticipation. But for reasons we're not told, we don't know. That's a part of the story we don't get. But for whatever reason, God had made a promise to Simeon. Somehow he had impressed on him that the words of the prophets would be fulfilled in his lifetime. Somehow God told him that he, Simeon, would not die until he had seen this long-promised Redeemer of Israel. And so patiently Simeon watched. And he waited. I wonder if he wondered, how will I know? But as the years grew into decades, and decades into a lifetime, as his body grew weak and began to fail him, he desperately longed for Messiah to finally come. To come give rest to his worn-out body and his weary soul. He had sown the years of waiting and watching. And now, old and weary, he longed for the harvest. Like Simeon before us, those same words of the prophets can fill us with a kind of hope, a kind of longing. Now, it's not the same, clearly. Clearly, it's not the same. He waited for a lifetime for the Christ child to come, to finally come. You and I, we celebrate the infant's birth now 20 centuries in the past. Still, this celebration that we are ushering in right now in this season of our year, the celebration is all about longing. It's all about longing. I mean, ask any kid. I mean, do you remember being too excited to sleep on Christmas Eve? Who knew what the morning would bring? Longing. I suspect most of us sleep, well, most of us, maybe not all of us, but most of us in this room this morning, we sleep fine on Christmas Eve. But when we say, as we sometimes do, that we wish we could just carry this spirit of Christmas with us through the coming year. Or when we work and plan for that perfect holiday gathering, praying that just once, maybe once in a lifetime, everyone will finally be on their best behavior. Yes. Or we stumble into some perfect, magical moment. And stumble is the right word. We don't plan it. We don't expect it. But we stumble into some perfect, magical moment with people we love. And we just wish like heck that time could stand still, that it could just stop right there. When flipping through the junk mail and the Christmas cards and the day's mail, we're surprised, caught off guard by a lump in our throats as we read familiar words of ancient prophets. People living in darkness saw a great light. Unto us a child is born. In all of this, people, yearning for that once-in-a-lifetime perfect family gathering, or wishing that time could stand still because we've stumbled into something magical. In all of this, we betray a longing for things to be different, for life to be different, for us to be different. We long for some foundation, some cornerstone on which to build a marriage, a family, a life. We long for someone to take the smoldering wick of our drive, our passion for life, our drive to keep going. We long for someone to take that smoldering wick and fan it back into flame. Long for someone to take the bruised, almost broken reed of our life and nurse it back to strength, to health, to vitality. Long to be right, to be whole. For someone to take away our fear, our regret, our guilt. Like a lost sheep who has strayed, we long for someone to show us the way home. Prompted by the Spirit, Simeon made his way to the temple that day. Now, we don't know. Maybe he went to the temple every day. But we know he went that day. And once there, he met Mary and Joseph coming to consecrate their six-week-old firstborn son to God, to just do what the law required. And he knew. Simeon knew. We don't know how. But Simeon knew. He knew this was the one. Knew the saying that was written had finally come true. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel. God with us. That day, Simeon found the answer to a lifetime of waiting. Simeon knew. 20 centuries later, what often strikes me is that you and I, we still struggle to grasp, to wrap our heads around, what in thunder does it mean that this child was God with us? I mean, how does that work? God walking among us as a man, how does that work? We can struggle with that. Maybe some of us don't struggle with it at all. Either way, as you and I watch and wait through these next days of Advent, these next 20-some days, understand this. That thing that you hope for, you call it peace, or maybe rest, or wholeness, home. That thing you hope for, it's found in Him. Whatever you call it. Maybe you don't know what to call it. But the answer to that deep longing down in your soul, it's found in Him. As a man, that infant Jesus, growing to manhood, He said, I came to give my life as a ransom for many, to give my life on behalf of many for forgiveness of sins. Talk about a mystery. But He said that He would die in our place and somehow make right what was wrong with us and our world. Said, come to me all who are weary and I'll give you rest, rest for your souls. Said, the one who believes in me will live even though he dies. And He said this. He said, I'm the way. I'm truth and life. I'm the way. Which begs the question, the way to what? The way to what? People embracing Jesus, following him. It's the way. It's the way to mending our brokenness. It's the way to a life with meaning and purpose. It's the way to soul deep rest or strength or courage or peace. It's the way to knowing the God who is there. It's the way, he's the way to everything. Everything that matters. The great good news of Christmas is that the one you desire has come. The one you've waited for your whole life. So as our story ends, Simeon took the infant child into his arms, held in his arms the desire of the nations, the joy of every longing heart. Holding the infant, he prayed. Prayed, "Now set your servant free, free to go in peace. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior whom you've prepared for all the world to see. A light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people Israel." Let's pray. Father in heaven, may we find in Christ the rest and peace and joy that Simeon found that long ago day. In the words of the old carol, we pray, "Come, desire of nations, come, fix in us your humble home." We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.